first reading is taken from Matthew, reading from chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. And you can find that on page 818 in the church Bibles. So that's Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' This is the word of the Lord.
And our second reading is in the same chapter, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we have before us your word, inspired by your Spirit. We pray now that your Spirit would work in our minds and hearts to give us a right understanding of your word, to help us and mold us to be the people you would have us be. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I wonder, what is the most wonderful thing you have done in your life so far? What's the most memorable occasion as far as you are concerned? A bungee jump, perhaps? Giving birth to a child? Succeeding in an important business deal? Exploring the Grand Canyon? Meeting royalty? Whatever it is that has come to your mind as I have been speaking so far, I put it to you that all such things are as nothing compared with something happening right now, right here. And I'm not talking about the brilliance of my sermon. What I'm saying is this, that if we are engaged with this service at all, we are in communication with the living God, with the creator of the whole cosmos. Do you believe that? Do I? That Almighty God who keeps everything in being should actually speak to you and me, ordinary folk in Knutsford, is, to come to think of it, quite breathtaking. God would address you today. The Bible tells us that we have a personal, knowable God, who not only speaks to us, but also by his Spirit enables us to respond. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke here on earth all those years ago, he was speaking things which come from God. Indeed, he said on one occasion that his teaching came from God. It wasn't just about God. It is from God. It is disclosing God's mind to us. So when we look at the parables, as you're looking at in these this series of sermons, we're looking not just at good stories, but at things that God wants to say to us. Here is truth from God, put in such a way that it can be accommodated by our finite minds. When I talk to children in school, as I'm privileged to do from time to time, I do not necessarily use the same language that I would use when speaking as I am now to you. I speak simply so that they can understand and take things in. And in just the same way, the infinite God has accommodated himself in order to communicate with us finite human beings. God has come to sit where we sit. He has come in human form, in the person of the God-man Jesus, expressing himself in terms that we can understand. And when Jesus taught, it was very often in parables. And the parable before us this morning speaks of things that would be very familiar indeed to most of Jesus' original hearers. For theirs was an agricultural economy. Fields, farmers, crops were a common sight. And Jesus takes these things and uses them to teach important truths. And, as we have heard in our readings this morning, he later on explains to his disciples exactly what he was getting at in the story. And the story itself is quite straightforward. A farmer sows good wheat seed in his field. An enemy of his comes along at night time and sows the seeds of weeds in the same field. Probably the weeds were a plant called darnel, which looks, initially at least, very much like wheat. And when the crops come up, the farm workers notice that there are weeds there. And they report it to the farmer. Didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, the farmer replies. Shall we pull the weeds up then? No, the farmer replied, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, then we'll separate them. Collect the weeds and burn them and put the wheat in the barn. Now, at one level, this is a straightforward story, showing the sort of things that envy and jealousy can do. The enemy of the farmer was probably jealous of him. It also contains some wise advice for wheat growers. Don't be too hasty to pull up the weeds. Now, nowadays, of course, we have selective weed killer to spray on the fields and sophisticated equipment to deliver it, but there was no such facilities in Jesus' day. His hearers would have understood well what he was saying to them. Or would they? You see, this is a parable. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning, as my Sunday school teacher put it 70 years ago. The disciples realized that there was more to it than reflections on wicked behavior and advice for farmers. Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field, they ask later when they're in the house on their own, away from the crowds. And Jesus tells them that the story is really about what happens when he, the Son of Man, works to put into the world men and women who truly acknowledge him as King. The farmer is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the seed, the good seed, is the children of the kingdom. All those who, through the work of the Spirit, come to understand something of the truth of God, come to true repentance for their sins and sincere trust in the Lord Jesus, they are the children of the kingdom. He has put us, if we are believers, into the world. It was the Son of Man who did the sowing. It was essentially Jesus who claimed us and by the Spirit called us into the kingdom of God. And just as the farmer looks for his crops to grow and to mature, so our Lord looks for us to increase in our knowledge of him as our King, to increase in our following him as King, and to increase in our influence in the world around us. But what about the weeds? Jesus says these are men and women who have a different king. They are, verse 38, the sons of the evil one. And just as it was not easy at first to detect the difference between the wheat and the weeds in the field, So it is not initially easy to detect the difference between the children of the kingdom and the sons of the evil one. There will be a separation, but it's not now, but at what Jesus calls the close of the age. For our Lord speaks here of an awesome day of judgment to come. Allow me to read a couple of verses again. Verse 40. We'll start halfway through 39. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's an awesome day of judgment to come. So what are we here in St. John's, Knutsford, to make of all this? What does it have to teach us, which is pertinent to the lives we must live in the days that lie ahead? What does it have to say to the life and ministry of this church? Let me suggest just a few pointers. First of all, if we are true believers for whom Jesus is our Lord and our King, we are such because of his initiative. We are the good seed sown in the field of the world by the Son of Man. You and I did not become Christians, if we are Christians, because we're a bit better than others. Because we've somehow gained a few more brownie points. No, we are Christians because he, by his Spirit, opened our minds and hearts to understand the gospel, to understand that our sin stands between us and God, and that he, our Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take the penalty that our sin deserves. And he brought us to put our trust in him and in his sacrifice, and to go on putting our trust in him. It's not a matter of our cleverness or our moral attainment which makes us the children of the kingdom. It's a matter of his love, his initiative, his grace. Now, as we face the tasks of the coming week, the people we're going to meet, those difficult people next door, perhaps, that awkward boss, as we face that feared appointment with the doctor, or whatever it happens to be, let us rejoice whatever we have to cope with. And didn't those songs so wonderfully reflect this? Let us rejoice that we are those who have been placed where we are and given the relationships we have by Jesus Christ himself. Those of you who have lived in Knutsford for a long time, and I Looking round, I can see one or two who I know have. It's terribly easy to just take it all for granted. Yeah, well, we're just part of the community here. Will you grasp, will you take hold of this? God has put you here. Jesus has planted you, the good seed, where you are, and me where I am. Secondly, Jesus is showing us here that in the world and also, sadly, in the church, the company of those who profess belief, there will always be, until the end of the age, a mixed company. There will always be both the children of the kingdom and the sons of the evil one. I was fascinated this morning, having preached this sermon at the previous service, going out, I was challenged on this very point. And someone said to me, you were saying this morning that there are two groups of people in the world. I think there are three, she said. Interesting, said I. She said, yes, she said, there are the children of the kingdom, the Christians. Yes, there are the children of the evil one, the people we know who are terrible. But my observation is that there's a much greater group as well. They're the people who aren't Christians, but are very nice, good people. Isn't that rather like not being able to tell the difference between the wheat and the darnel? We need to hear Jesus, even when he says things which are very challenging to us. There will always be both children of the kingdom and sons of the evil one in the community and in the life of the church. But that should not be an immediate cause for alarm. After all, as St. Augustine put it, those who are weeds today may be wheat tomorrow. Are we those who are so witnessing to the love and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can use us, our witness, to bring others to be his wheat, his good seed planted in the field of the world. There will be children of the evil one everywhere, and we will be aware of their influence in our culture. But there are the children of the kingdom. There will be in every congregation, not only those who are believers and who are rejoicing in Jesus as their Lord and Master, but there are those who are beginning to explore the Christian faith. Those who are confused, those who are seeking meaning for their lives. And just as you cannot readily tell the difference between wheat and darnel, so you cannot always readily and easily discern who are the true children of God in the world and who are still the children of the evil one. That's created all sorts of problems down the centuries. Particular problems for Christians. Should we not be working to keep the church pure? Yes, of course. Should we not, as far as possible, separate ourselves from the children of the evil one? So it is that down the years, New denominations have been formed. New churches have sprung up, seeking to express as clearly as possible what they perceive to be the true faith. And sometimes those separations have taken place because the gospel is being ignored or opposed, which may indeed justify starting anew. But at the end of the day, we must recognize that there is an enemy at work. Just as the Son of Man sows good seed in the world, the devil sows weeds. There will not be a clear separation until the close of the age. Which brings us to a third consideration. This parable and Jesus' explanation of it reminds us that the world as we know it is not going to go on and on and on indefinitely. There will be an end to the age when Jesus will return and there will be a time of judgment. That's not a popular subject to dwell on these days. But I put it to you, it's not something to be dismissed or taken lightly. Though many people around us seem to live as if what they are and what they do is of no particular significance. Now, of course, if this universe just came about by chance, if we men and women are simply a few pence worth of chemicals. So much carbon, so much hydrogen, so much oxygen, lots of other elements as well. If we're just a few pence worth of chemicals, and if our 80 years or so here on this planet is the only life that there is, well, why not eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die? But that is not the truth of the matter. There is a Creator to whom we are each responsible. There is a reason for which men and women made in the image of our Creator have been placed here on this earth. We have been placed here on this earth to care for it and to populate it and to live in relationship with God. And there is coming a time when we will all face our judge, and that will have fearful consequences for those who, as their king, as their lord, have the world, the flesh, and the devil. Verse 41. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. That is a solemn warning. A solemn warning, especially to those who, hearing the good news of Christ and all that he has done for us, choose to ignore it and live without him as their Lord. But let us end on a glorious and wonderful note. It's in verse 43. Then, the end of the age, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Life is not always straightforward for the Lord's people. There will be many here who know that only too well in your own experience. We may have much to put up with that perplexes us and stresses us. We may be just like Matt Redman, who David was telling us about as he introduced one of the songs. We need to go on acknowledging Jesus as our Lord, knowing that a time is coming when the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom. Our goal is clear: to be with the King, with the Lord God himself, and enjoying his kingdom forever. But let my final words in this sermon be Jesus' final words. Again, verse 43. He who has ears, let him hear.